This is a production of Cornell University.
So good afternoon, everybody. We will go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is our last meeting of the 18-19 session. And at this point, I'd like to ask if we have a motion to approve our minutes from our past meeting.
So moved.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any dissent or any corrections to the minutes from the last meeting? Okay, great. The minutes are approved. Today, we've got a few things on the agenda. First, I'd like to welcome Cassie Joseph, who is here representing the colleague network groups across campus. And we have several visitors today from various colleague network groups that will have an opportunity to introduce themselves shortly. And with that, I asked Sarah, are we up on Zoom?
We are. They can see us.
Okay. Okay, great. Can we get a test? Carrie, are you hearing us okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So once Cassie's ready, we'll turn the floor over to you. While Cassie's getting that set up, I'll run through a couple of administrative notes. First of all, welcome to the new assembly members that will be officially seated in the next session. We have a few of you that decided to attend today. We are going to take a couple procedural votes later in the meeting. Just as a reminder, you will not be voting during those portions. The calendar, it has been sent to the executive committee for the next session. And I can tell you the first meeting is scheduled for June 5th. And then the executive committee will get that calendar published to the whole assembly, unless there's any corrections that need to be made. Additionally, following Cassie's presentation, we're going to be voting on the consolidation of the committee structure, whether or not we change the bylaws from the assembly to reflect the new structure that we've tested and piloted this year, or going back to our former structure, at which point then the new assembly will take that on board. And it's sunshiny outside, which is great.
Apologies for the
technical. No, that's fine. Gives everybody a chance to continue eating. If you would like, Cassie, we can move to a couple of the other agenda items and then come back to you. All right. So the first item. Hey, Trevor, how's it going?
Good.
The first item we're going to cover is, first of all, voting on the consolidation of the committee structure. And before we do that, I'd like to open the floor to any discussion with regard to how it went this past year, particularly hearing from committee chairs, if there's anything that they would like to add, or any discussion around potentially going back to our old structure. So floor is open for any comments, thoughts. Yes, Carrie.
I would like to advocate for keeping the consolidated structure. More than anything, I think it's tough for us all to be super active in our committees, given everything else we've got going on. And so for me, to have a bigger pool of people that are seeing the same emails and attending the meetings, I think that works out better because we may lose some one week or the next and gain others the next time. To me, it just is more efficient. And I would say at least for communications and awards, I hope to really see the fruits of that this coming year. So
thank you very much. Anyone else? Tarek.
So I'll talk about benefits and policy. So I think it was a good opportunity to merge both of them because they kind of deal with the same kind of domain, I want to call it. What I would like to see though is more engagement, because it's like we had our brainstorming sessions at the beginning of the term, and now we went through most of these, you know, like we addressed the people. So I would encourage people going forward to participate and bring out more issues, you know, because we're trying to go through issues as we go, you know, contact the people, let them know what needs to be discussed, you know, so whether that's work life, benefits, or policy, you know. But yeah, we have a very welcoming atmosphere. If you have things to discuss, please come and be on the committee, whether you remember or not, you know, bring people to us.
Yeah, invite your colleagues.
You know, yeah, invite your colleagues, because now this is a really good opportunity. Plus, we got now the attention of the offices we're working with, mm-hmm. and we have some sort of working relationship. So let's leverage that. Let's not have it go to waste.
Thank you very much, Tarek.
Thanks.
Chris.
I would second everything that Carrie said. The consolidation gives us more people, so more hands makes less work. I think if we expanded, it would be tougher. I don't think that there's anything that at least I found in my committees this year that I was a participant in where we ran into, I wish we had another committee for this. So I would just let not participating in shared governance the prior years and understanding fully how that all worked. The previous EA made the recommendation to this EA that we're all here that this would be a good idea. And if everybody generally felt that this went okay, who had previous experience, then I, you know, my motion is that we end the debate and vote this into our bylaws.
So there's a motion on the floor to end the debate and amend our bylaws.
Second the motion.
Second. Okay, great. At this point, we will just take a hand vote on if you are in favor of consolidation, please vote.
Adam and Carrie.
18, and those opposed that would like to go back to our previous structure? 0. Any abstentions? 0. So fantastic. I'm glad that everybody feels good about the progress that we've made in the consolidation. And so by a vote of 18-0-0, we will continue. And in terms of communication with the president's office, a resolution is not required in this case. I will simply be communicating that following the session of the year, we internally voted to consolidate that structure. So thank you all very much for that.
Point of clarification, Tanya wasn't here, so she couldn't have voted. So
you didn't count her, did you?
I did not.
But she's listed on the minutes as being present. So
I will
she
make
have
sure
to
that.
Be in one of those categories.
Got it. Thank you very much. Okay, great. Anybody else that I missed? Thank you, Christine.
Sure.
So, Cassie?
Everyone. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm Cassie Pierre-Joseph. I'm from the Office of Workforce Recruitment and Retention within the Division of Human Resources. And I'm here to talk to you about the university's colleague network groups, which are the university's official employee resource groups. And we have these groups to start with. They were identified because there was a recruitment opportunity or a retention issue. And we are going to be adding more groups to this collection that we have in project. We have a group for individuals with disability. We We have a group for men of color, individuals who identify as LGBTQ, veterans, women of color, and young professionals. Our young professionals group is a joint group with Tompkins Connect. However, as I talked about before, we're going to be adding groups. One of those groups we're looking to add is an on-campus young professionals group. And we're also interested in adding a international colleague network group. And we are currently ending the pilot for a new colleague network group. And again, all of this is based on information and retention information that indicated that these were populations that were in need of additional support. So there's a lot of details that I can provide you, but when it comes to the colleague network group, the meat of the groups, the heart of the groups are the people. So what I'd like to do is show you a video that speaks to the colleague network group, and then I'll give you a very quick overview of the structure of the groups, which you'll be able to access later, and you'll be able to access it later as well if you have questions. And then I want to give time to the additional guests that joined me here today to really speak about their own personal experience of the impact the group has had on them. So this video we have is speaking to, again, the impact the groups have on recruitment and retention. And these were individuals that are currently at Cornell or possibly have moved on from Cornell. But while they were here, they were an active part of creating and building the group and participating and sustaining the groups.
And just as an FYI, this complex of Clark Hall, PSB, and I believe Baker are all getting a AV upgrade over the next year. $330,000 is being invested by the College of Arts and Sciences and the departments that occupy these facilities. So that's going to start taking place here in the next academic year. So hopefully some of these issues won't be issues.
Perfect. Yay.
Cassie, can I ask you a question while we're doing this? I know a little bit about this, and I wanted to know how does the colleague network group raise awareness about that these things exist?
So we have information available in the onboarding center, and we also regularly reach out to the HR partners and the colleges and units so that they're aware of things that are happening within the colleague network group. And we have materials that we provide to them so that they can share with employees, whether it be they come to them with a situation that may speak to this might be of help to you, or as a new employee, we want you to be aware of all the different programs available to you. So those are some of the main areas, but the best place we've always found to be is word of mouth. Fellow colleagues speaking to one another and reaching out to one another. And we see this happen across the different colleague network groups. With the Disability Colleague Network group, we actually recently had a meeting for interest in joining the board. And we had two members actually find out about it because their colleagues are in members of other colleague network groups and shared it with them. So word of mouth is definitely number one.
But it is part of the new employee experience as well?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. And the reason I asked that question is through one of our diversity trainings, you know, Cornell is not as diverse as we all, you know, we're hoping to get more and more diverse. And where these groups are really well represented, the question came up of how do I as a, not myself, but this question of how do I as a straight white man relate to a man of color and sort of say, hey, here's this group that maybe you want to join, because it's sort of a awkward referral, because it's like, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole you there or whatever it is. And that was, you know, people, so the answer was, well, what did you do? Like how, what, when you had that problem, how'd you guys work it out? And they're like, well, we actually like all got together, like talked about it for a while to say like, is this gonna, are we gonna get in trouble with HR? And then they said it was worth the risk to just let someone know that, hey, this was out there, and the person was appreciative, and then they actually went and joined, you know, found a use to join or participate in the group. So those kind of things are something that, yeah, as we talk about employees and bringing awareness, if there was any other additional resources about how do you introduce this in the not awkwardest way?
So your HR partner is definitely a key person in helping you navigate that. But what we've done is the information that is put out there is about all of the colleague network groups. So if you provide them information about all of the colleague network groups, then you're not asking them to identify with one in particular. So it could be because they identify with one or they are feeling a strong affiliation to one as an ally.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. So I could say the video is online. I wish you could see it because it's a great video.
Yeah,
but I can go into the overview of what the structure of each colleague network group is. So as I mentioned, these are employee resource groups for the university. They are ways for leadership as well as employees to have a regular conduit to one another. So it's a great way for those who identify with one of the particular groups to come together, share concerns, and really take part in addressing the solution and coming up with that solution. And also, again, the employee resource groups are really impactful as it really does give our faculty and staff a route to take part of the solution. So looking at the different groups we have, each group has really taken part in developing solutions to address issues very specific to their community and has been able to really have a dynamic impact on the quality of life of particular communities as well as our overall inclusion. So the purpose, again, is to provide a professional support system that can extend beyond the workplace. The overall point is to enhance the Cornell culture by making sure that everyone is fully engaged and cultivated into being a part of it. Within the colleague network group experience, these are all the various things that our participants get an opportunity to take part in. They are more engaged, they have support for their particular affinity, they have opportunities for mentoring because they're connecting with employees across campus, they are networking, they have opportunities to volunteer in the community on issues that are very important to them, they have opportunities to collaborate with leadership, again, on solutions that are important to them. Each CNG follows this particular structure. There's a chairperson, a vice chairperson, a historian, several members at large, an executive liaison, and a community liaison. The chairperson and vice chairperson primarily work with me to develop what the calendar year is going to consist of and what the focus and goal is going to be. The historian is essentially the person that helps me to remember what happened. They work with us to maintain the legacy, keeping the pictures, keeping the notes. Members at large are deliberately a diverse representative of that particular community. Their role is to make sure their particular perspective that may represent many people within that community are at the table. The executive liaison is typically a vice president or vice provost that is a senior leader that is responsible for supporting that particular colleague network group and helping them maintain their visibility and improve themselves as campus leaders. And the community liaison is, it may be someone within Cornell, but it also may be someone external to Cornell. But the point is, this particular community is connected to that issue in the community, and that's a way of keeping a conduit going. The eligibility, for the most part, is that they actively support the CNG mission. They are able to commit to 2 years, and they're a university benefits eligible employee in good standing with the university. And again, I won't go through all of these different things because we'll send it to you, but for the most part, these board members are a key part in really developing a welcoming, inclusive environment for their particular communities. So there's a lot of things we ask of them that aren't difficult to ask if they indeed care and are invested in supporting their communities. So we ask them to attend and participate in the events that their group is having, as well as other CNGs. We ask them to participate and develop a calendar of activities and events that's very fruitful and very impactful to their community. We ask them to participate in recruitment opportunities should they arise. And usually what that means is we may have a candidate that is interested in knowing what it's like to be here as a woman of color or as a veteran, and we can connect with members of our colleague network group that they can have a conversation with, they can have dinner with, to have a honest, but of course still appealing conversation because the point is to draw them in. And the colleague network groups also regularly meet with senior leaders. So they regularly meet with their executive liaison. And so, for example, the Men of Color's liaison is Vice President Ryan Lombardi. The Veteran Colleague Network Group's executive liaison is Mary Opperman. The Disability Colleague Network Group's Vice President Paul Streeter is their executive liaison. So the other groups, we've had some changeover and turnover in our leadership, so we are in the process of identifying new executive liaisons for some of our other colleague network groups. But they're responsible for meeting with their senior leader and getting information and making sure that, again, the visibility is where it could be, getting guidance as campus leaders, making sure that the concerns of the community they represent is in front of this leader, so that when they have an opportunity to extend the concern in front of their level of support, they can. They also meet with Mary Opperman at least once to twice a year, where again, they're bringing forward issues that are of importance. And again, not just the issue, but also the potential solution to solve the issue. And all of the colleague network groups are built on these pillars. And I call it the gear up with the CNGs. That's give, engage, achieve, recruit. To the give piece is essentially how the groups determine what's of importance to them and what matters to them in terms of how they want to give back to their particular community. Developing activities and events where they're able to engage with one another as well as beyond the community. Information and resources so that they can achieve professionally here at Cornell. And as I mentioned before, take part in recruiting fellow peers that are also talented. So I'll give an example for the CNG Give. The Men of Color and Women of Color are currently supporting collecting food for the student food bank. And we're going to be doing a summer push so that there's food on campus for the students that are here during the summer. The CNG Engage, all of the colleague network groups will also take part in hosting a senior leader to bring forward an issue that is of concern to them and invite other colleague network groups to join them. So just recently, the Men of Color colleague network group hosted Ryan Lombardi, and he did a presentation on what to expect from the incoming student population.
It was very informative and increased awareness for those that do not work directly with students.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.
Opportunities where it may be having a conversation around an article to having organizational development and talent management come in and do presentations on resources they have available, like how to leverage the various university tools to understand where you are in your career and how to further your career. Also taking advantage of the Colleague Connections mentoring program so that, again, they're utilizing and taking part in all the resources available to them. And as I mentioned, recruit. One thing that we have added is the Recruitment Ambassador Program. And what that's going to do is provide training to non-traditional recruiters so that when they are out at events that are specific to their industry, they could be there as a recruiter on behalf of Cornell. And it's on a case-by-case situation, so we are working with individuals to figure out what would be the right fit according to the event and activity they're participating in. And we also, again, depending upon what it may be or where it may be, we provide support for those colleague network groups members to participate in nearby events, whether it's as a presenter or as a participant. So again, getting the word out of the different diverse talent we have here at Cornell. These are, again, more examples of various things that our colleague network groups have brought to Cornell University. The Tompkins Connect is the developer of Jump On Board, where our young professionals have an opportunity to go to a fair and find out about the different nonprofit organizations in the area that are looking for board members. It's a great development opportunity for our young professionals. AIDS Rights for Life, our LGBTQ CNG, has volunteered for this local fundraising event by providing support and even consultation to help make this as fruitful event as it could possibly be. WorkConda, the Men of Color Colleague Network Group, developed a podcast that speaks to different resources and services that are available to all faculty and staff. But the way they do this in their format, it's a very like feel-good conversation amongst friends. And it's like you're getting to listen in on friends, and they talk about the different issues they experience as men of color in the workplace. And then they talk about the resources they've used as men of color at Cornell University. So I just found out just yesterday, actually, we have an episode that's specific to resources our fathers have used here at Cornell University. And they had an episode that spoke to the topics of raising a family, raising children that are in a community that is not as diverse as they are, and the different issues and concerns they have as fathers, and then the resources they've used. In that episode, they talked about using the dependent care consultant, the child care grant, mm-hmm. and also the bringing a family to the community. And what I recently learned is that they've actually seen an uptick in the number of men of color using the work-life services. So I do think that the two are connected. Lives Worth Living is a documentary that the Disability Colleague Network Group brought to campus some time ago. And it's a documentary on the disability rights movement. It was followed by a question and answer with faculty. And again, bringing awareness to various issues that are happening within our community and nationally. Team Red, White, and Blue is a national organization that the Veteran Colleague Network Group launched the local chapter here in Ithaca. And this is an organization that provides veterans and their family members with opportunities to connect in a way that is unique, where it still connects them to some of the physical activities that they had to do within their military service, but helping them transition to civilian life. And a very dynamic program that, again, our Veteran Colleague Network group members brought that national organization here to Ithaca. And finally, in terms of giving, the men of color and women of color have adopted families for the holiday through the Salvation Army, and they've adopted several families and have provided them with a better holiday season because they have decided that is their program initiative. So what I'd like to do is turn it over to those that are in the room who would like to share their story, because again, I feel I could give you all kinds of information, but again, the real heart of the impact is from the people benefiting from the college network groups.
I'll go first, because I got to run the clinic in a few minutes. So hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Jada Hamilton. I'm one of the physicians over at Cornell Health. I've been here almost 6 years now. One of the assistant medical directors. I'm also a veteran, so I retired from the Navy in 2012. And I think I initially started off with the veterans. That was my first introduction to the colleague network groups. And actually, I found out about it by one of the other physicians who's no longer here. He was also an Air Force doc. And he just told me about the, hey, you should check it out. And I'm like, great. Because honestly, I think those connections with, and I'm also the chair for the Women of Color Colleague Network. So it really, I think, just me, for me, coming from a military background, and kind of, you have this instant community wherever you go, as far as, you know, on base and things, and we came from Maryland, D.C. area, so quite diverse. So, you know, I think just helping me with the transition and just coming to communities such as Ithaca and Cornell, honestly, if I didn't have these connections with the colleague network groups, I probably would not still be here. I mean, I love my job, honestly, but I think, you know, this is sort of what attracted me and kept me here when I kind of heard about these programs. And it's just a great way to network. It's a great way to support each other, get some community engagement. We've done some health related stuff, which I think is very important in the African-American community. There's a lot of barriers to health and seeking health, especially with mental health and stuff. So we, you know, help to do that and some mentorship with some students and things. So, and I'd love to see veterans here on campus. Even students, and I just get so excited. But honestly, I think this is something that's valuable. I think it's something that we don't see at a lot of institutions, but I think it's great. Every time I have a new, you know, person that comes to Cornell Health, I always, you know, Cassie gets the email, I let them know about the programs, whether it be disability related or, you know, LGBT or, you know, veterans, and of course, women of men of color. So I think, you know, for me, it's really a godsend. And I think, you know, great benefit. I thank Cassie, she's awesome. But yeah, so that's all I'm gonna say. And I have to run because I gotta go see patients. But thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for lunch. He's also wonderful to help me get lunch. Go right to work. All right, thanks. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to share? So I'm part of the Veterans Colleague Network group, a former chair and now a member at large. Have been with the Veterans Colleague Network group since Franco. And I think it was such a unique opportunity to increase the network here at Cornell. So much of what we do day to day is getting to know other people in different areas of the university. And we have a tremendous network that spans the whole campus and other campuses in Geneva and some of the other areas. So it's a really great opportunity to get to know people across campus. It got us back into physical fitness with Team RWB and just starting to like work out again. And we've, you know, not been doing that for many years. And so now we're like, all right, we're gonna, you know, go for a run. We're gonna learn to do these 5Ks and things like that. So that was something really new for us that this really gave us an opportunity to do that. But also connecting with other veterans, it was something that I've many years out of the service, and so I hadn't connected with that population here at Cornell. I've been with Cornell 19 years now, and I hadn't at that point connected with that population here. And so just knowing who those folks were, you almost have that immediate bond because you have some similar background. And the idea that you can give back and help with recruitment and bring other people here and let them know what it's like, it's been really valuable.
And I'm Jace Basie, and I'm on the Veteran Colleague Network group as well. And I'm the community outreach coordinator, director, whatever we're calling that. And my role for that is to run the local chapter of Team Red, White, and Blue. And I think you said earlier about bringing up, Cassie mentioned earlier about bringing up problems and solutions. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've found is this is a group that is very focused on identify a problem. The immediate next step is to start working on solutions. It's not raising your hand and saying, hey, there's a problem. Somebody else needs to fix this. Take ownership of that problem and do what you can to maybe just fix it a little bit, or in some cases we've been able to really make some significant changes here on campus and assist other groups that needed help getting a start so that they could make a positive change, like the student veterans on campus. And helping them get going has been something that organization has really done. And like Emily said, also reaching out and meeting folks from across campus that I would not have met otherwise, Trevor and Craig probably, that you know, just through the VCNG, it's been a great networking opportunity for me. And I enjoyed being surrounded by such positive people and working on solutions. Thank you all for inviting us and for lunch.
Yeah, my name is Dave Jewers. I'm a member at large of the Veterans College Network Group. I guess the thing I'd say seconds everything everybody said here, but this is actually my second go around with Cornell, because I first came here in 1984. And as a Vietnam veteran, there was nothing. Zero, zip. There was nothing. We tend to be a fairly quiet group and didn't talk a lot about it. But the second time around I came in 2011, my supervisor turned out was also a veteran. And he just mentioned the listserv that the Veterans Colleague Network group had just started. And I signed up for that instantly. There were obviously 300 connections that I could make on campus and see the announcements of we need people for the executive committee. We need this, we need that, the other thing. And at that point I volunteered, I guess I did. They offered food too. So. It was something that was always here. There were a lot of veterans here at Cornell, and there have been who were sort of hidden. But this gave us a chance to actually sort of come out as a group and be recognized if we wanted to be, and connect with others, and then do some of the things that we've been talking about. So it's a good thing. Thank you.
Hi everyone, my name is Amanda Williams. I'm an admissions counselor over at the SU Johnson College of Business, and I'm also the historian of the Women of Color Colleague Network Group and a member of the Young Professionals Colleague Network Group, as well as Tompkins Connect. And I was actually an undergraduate student at Cornell, and I graduated in 2017, and I've been working here ever since. And the transition from undergraduate to staff member is a lot bigger than it may seem, because you're not that 4 a.m. night life anymore. So being able to meet other young professionals and young people in the community that were, you know, locals, as a Cornell student, I was, you know, kind of on the hill all the time. And through those people that I met through the Young Professionals Group and Tompkins Connect from Ithaca College or TC3 or living and working downtown, I actually like got into town a little bit more, got more involved, volunteered a lot, went to East Shore Drive for the first time. You know, these things that seem so here all the time, but as a student, you don't experience as much. And then in terms of the Women of Color Colleague Network Group, which has been a great experience, is where I've made a lot of my friends as staff people here. And it's a great time to connect on issues that you don't always get to talk about, that you may not see in your everyday workplace, but also just the camaraderie that we have, also volunteering in things downtown together and doing that. And so that's been a really great time, and it's really helped me transition, I think, from being a student to being a staff member. I'm actually starting a grad degree next year, so I'll be a student again, but you know, it's still there, and it's been a great impact on my life, and I know the people that are in the college networks too. So.
Good afternoon. I am Carlo Lindo. I am the vice chair of the Men of Color Colleague Network Group, and I've been here for about 3.5 years. I work in the College of Arts and Sciences as an advisor. I would just say about the group that it really helps to build community. It helps to keep folks engaged. And so if any of you are Game of Thrones fans, the analogy I made was the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives, right? So people leave Cornell, and the turnover rate is really high for people of color. And so I've seen a lot of folks that were here 3 years ago leave, either go to a different college, right? The person that introduced me to the Colleague Network Group went from working with me in Wadi to then working in Cal's. Because of the CNG, we were still able to stay connected. And so the idea that, you know, things can change, that's guaranteed. but the CNGs will keep you engaged has really allowed me to feel connected to Cornell, connected to the community. And so it's important that we keep it going and want to continue to recruit and let folks know that it it exists, right? So that you can feel welcome at Cornell and welcomed so that you can, you know, be here for a while and do the work that we do. And so I definitely contributed to being one of the reasons that I'm still here, but also a reason that I'm able to enjoy coming to work and being on campus and being in Ithaca. So I think it's a great opportunity for folks, as you've clearly heard. So once again, thank you for having us.
I'm a new member to the Men of Color colleague group, and I love it already. So you'll see more. I guess you'll see more of me. Yeah, thank you.
So again, hearing from the people that are benefiting from the group, that's really what the group's about. And that information that they collect to be aware of what's happening within those communities, they really form the solutions that can be presented to our leadership to, again, overall improve the quality of life for all of us. So are there any questions about the colleague network groups? Yes.
So it sounds like there are 300 people on the veterans listserv. So how big are these network groups?
And they definitely vary. And so they definitely vary because, for example, with the veterans, that we kind of have an idea of who the veterans are in the sense that we do have the Vets 100 survey that is done for federal compliance, but everyone opts in. So you have the choice of opting in. And so the disability group is a smaller group, less than 100. The men of color is also a smaller group. The women of color is about 200. And the numbers I'm stating are based on, they could be an active participant or a passive participant in the sense that they're on the list. Right. So the size is definitely varying.
How will the new Engage Cornell interact with the college members?
We will see.
Okay.
So there's definitely what I think is great about the colleague network groups, and in particular their pillars, is that there's opportunity to collaborate on those various areas. So for one group, it may be more about one thing, another group, it may be about another thing. We want to leave there that flexibility there for the groups to decide how they want to engage or how they want to collaborate. So how we partner, how we work is very much up to design.
I have a question. How do you identify and who's mentoring?
So oftentimes they happen naturally, and the mentoring is not always just professional. It can also be social. So individuals that come into the group that are looking for mentors, as they're coming to meetings and activities, they kind of get a feel for what it is they're looking for and who may fit that. I'm also there to help them with identifying what they're looking for and who might be the right person for that. So that's how a lot of the mentoring. Yes.
How is a young professional defined? Is young at heart good enough?
They don't make me up immediately. But young professional is considered typically under 40, but we're also mindful that someone may be young in their career.
Right.
Meaning that they started a new career, and so they're encountering some of the same things a young professional by age may be experiencing career-wise.
Not responsive.
But for the most part, we don't turn anyone away.
Well, thank you very much, Cassie,
thank
and
you.
Thanks for all the hard work you do, and to our guests today from all of the respective groups, thanks for being here and telling us more about the programming.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the colleague network groups, and I'm very appreciative for you giving me colleague network group members an opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For those that are visiting, you're welcome to stay if you'd like. I will tell you we're about to go into some procedural pieces, so you're welcome to stay, or please feel free to have a great afternoon. Yeah,
thank you
for being here.
Thank you
so much.
Hope you all have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
You too. Next order of business, I'm going to turn over to.
Excuse me, Peg, I actually.
Yes.
No, this is.
And so Peggy. So before Peggy goes.
I would like to say before she goes that she's really been wonderful. And so helpful to the retirees.
No, go ahead. I was just going to.
Way beyond because she was here. So I'm going to miss you.
Thanks, Peggy.
Kate, can you hang up for 1 minute?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay.
Be very kind to your future self. Invest in your.
Yes.
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 Thank you. All right. So since we have a few folks that have to leave, I'd like to do something real quick. First of all, those of you that are leaving the assembly, please stand up. Okay. Thank you very much for
young
what you've done.
Young professionals.
Those of you that have just arrived and have another year, awesome. So please have a seat. Please have a seat. Except for Tanya. Who, Tanya?
Uh-oh.
So those of you that don't know, Tanya has been a member of the Employee Assembly for 10 years now. She has served in positions from Vice Chair of Operations to Chief or Chair of the Assembly, and has worked on behalf of staff at Cornell tirelessly for these many, many years. And it's with a debt of gratitude and a huge thank you for all that you've done, both as a Howlcraft facilitator for some of us, and the work that you've done here on the assembly. We greatly appreciate it and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hang on for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, you have to leave.
So, hey, the floor is yours.
The data request template. We spoke about it for the past two meetings, and I've taken everybody's notes and tried to incorporate it. And I added the section. I know we spoke last time about what happens if a data request is the data request has not been responded to beyond the due date. So I referred back to the charter section 3B, which outlines what should happen if a data request is refused. And as part of this, if it has been if the member has been unresponsive. So I've added this portion. Also, as I was checking the charter, the EA charter in regards to data requests, I stumbled upon section 3A, which indicates that the employee assembly shall, by a majority vote, have the authority to request information directly from UNIC. So I think this is just a point of compliance. I don't know how data requests have been managed previously, but I think working through this workflow, the first thing we should probably address is if there is a data request that it does need to be discussed within this realm, and then move forward from this point. I think that would be a good way for us all to discuss, you know, the details of this data request, whether or not anybody knows if this information exists elsewhere, whether or not we have any sort of disagreements about the data request, if we think it's, you know, an important or appropriate endeavor to pursue. I think that through the work on the EA, we can suss that out and then go through the workflow as outlined here. And I've updated the template and also the example. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to re-review it, but this incorporates the items that we mentioned from last time, and also references to the EA charter as well. So if there are no other changes, I will just have this uploaded, and then it can be used moving forward in the future as we, you know, think about the information that we're requesting from what units and what purpose does it serve. So that is the data
request. So with that being said, the floor for any discussion around this, and if you have comments, please feel free to share so that we can get this as a active part of our committee work going forward.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Are there any concerns with the new format? So we're formalizing this process. Okay, great. So going forward, this will be what we use in terms of the formality piece and ensuring that there's clear communication across the assembly and to the folks that we're reaching out to across campus for data and information. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and switch over now to committee reports. Carrie, communications and awards.
Hello. So a quick update on upcoming events. I found from DFA last week that procurement is not going to be doing their supplier show, which is something we participated in the last couple years as a tabling thing. So they're not doing that this year. They may bring it back, I'm not sure. But so that leaves us with a couple of upcoming events for possible engagement this summer. And I'm gonna probably through my committee list ask for a point person to coordinate volunteers and such. So we have Summer Red Day coming up on July 16th, FYI. That's a good sort of networking thing. We get to hang out with HR at their stations and meet folks that come to get their treats. And then we have Staff Development Day coming up early August. So that's a bit more involved, at least based on what we did last year. We sponsored some stuff and that may also be tabling. And then I know Craig, you participated in the morning session with Mary Opperman. So we're gonna have to talk about that, you know, what our involvement looks like. But those are our two dates coming up. We have the graduation or staff graduate event on the 20th. Craig is participating in that, and probably our communications about graduates will just piggyback on Chronicle coverage of that, most likely. Unless Craig,
it's also important to note, Carrie, that it's also important to note that Tanya is participating as well as a graduate.
Oh, congratulations! Awesome. Well, you guys can get a good selfie, and then we'll post it. So yeah, we usually do something for the graduates, but that's sort of what's coming down the pipeline. Again, we're going to be asking, I'm not sure at what frequency, but we're going to be asking everybody to sign up for at least one of those events, like pretty much each season, I guess. So that's all.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Carla?
I don't have any.
Okay, thank you. Welfare Committee, Andrea?
We haven't met since the last meeting. The only thing I can think of is I'm just looking to Hey, do you have any updates from the Title IX committee that you would like to share? Typically, we talk about that at the Employee Welfare Committee, but if you don't, it's okay. We don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but that would be the only thing that we would report on is the updates from that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can give a quick update. We met, I believe, earlier this week. The Title IX team has met. We have discussed merging some of the pre-existing online media in terms of training. We've discussed the opportunity to maybe escalate mandatory trainings to higher level individuals. And this is something that is going to be a continued conversation at the top in regards to whether or not it's going to be mandatory. Mm-hmm. A lot of the consensus, even from faculty at this point, is we should make it mandatory. However, you know, that's not something that Title IX can enforce, and it's not something that our group can enforce, but it's definitely something that we've indicated is
they should or should not.
Should
okay. I couldn't tell if you were saying shouldn't.
Oh, sorry.
So they should make it mandatory.
Across the board. Okay. The desire would be to make mandatory Title IX training in terms of duty to consult.
Yep.
In terms of, you know, what the new policies we have on interactions are. I forget the policy number, but the consensus is that people would like, you know, graduate students, faculty members, staff members to be having the same training and make it mandatory. I think that is a discussion that is going to have to happen at the executive level and in terms of how they enforce that, who's going to oversee and manage that process. I mean, from talking about certain units like facilities who have mandatory,
yep.
you know, training.
It's for everybody. Yeah, it's required.
That is something that has been managed before, and that is something that's been overseen by HR with, you know, support from, you know, higher level executive members. So, you know, all of that feedback has been provided. They've discussed providing new media to provide examples of duty report. They're thinking about doing podcasts, which feature examples of faculty members, supervisors, and how those conversations should happen, how to report. So they're creating new ideas, and they'd like to work with different units on campus, particularly site, to kind of create more opportunities to train more individuals. So the conversations will be ongoing.
Do you mind telling everybody what site is?
I don't know.
Cornell Interactive Theater Ensemble.
Yes. Yes. I didn't know that what CITE, but they are a group that does these performances. And I think there's been a great partnership with some of the trainings that they've been doing. And so they want to piggyback on what site, on the groups that site is going to visit. So that is the update so far. They're still working through things, still gathering ideas, gathering input, and trying to bring a little bit more awareness to this and create more opportunities for training.
Thank you very much.
Update.
Thank you.
It's great. A lot of good information. Transportation Committee, Christine.
We meet next week for the last meeting of the term.
Okay. Thank you very much. Tarek, benefits and policy.
Sure. Last time we were here, we talked about I sent a link to everybody to vote on the proposed changes for 6.9. Thank you for all of you who participated in the vote. Let the record reflect that there are 21 votes. One of them is for option one. 8 of them are for option two. And 12 of them are for option three. So 3 is in the lead, you know. So based on the results from the poll, I'm going to forward these recommendations to the Office of HR, as that's where, you know, my committee started, you know. They were an instrumental in providing the poll. You know, we consulted their feedback and all. So we're just going to give them back the feedback. And let me highlight some points, takeaways, because we got a lot of comments. You know, the interesting part, the comments, you know, we had the number of people send this out to constituents and, you know, get comments out. And so number one, HR did not offer to increase the accrual rates for people who've been here longer, you know. By all means, my committee pursued increasing those as well. So we're not trying to discriminate
right
between one group versus the other. So that has created, so the comments were very interesting because a lot of people felt it's like there is some hazing needs to happen on campus. So if you've done it, you have to do it as well. And that's kind of goes back to your, how connected are we?
So, yeah.
You know, like a future project is, I mean, you have the same project, connectedness on campus. When we raise this issue on campus, it shows how, in a way, we are not that connected because people feel very strongly, you know, against people who've been here shorter term versus, so why is that climate happening? You know, I would like to dig deeper into that because this could show like a more, like an issue we need to solve, you know, deeper, you know, it's not, don't worry about the vacation. We need to have like more collegiality between everybody. Everybody should feel happy for the other, you know, I did not feel the love, unfortunately.
So can you go over again, so for all of us, what number three was?
So number three is the slowest
right.
Way to get access to vacation. Yeah. And, you know, I have stated over and over is that, hey, we're really behind compared to other IVs. And HR wanted us to be there, but our own colleagues said, no, we don't want to be on par with our
yeah,
colleagues.
Very,
you know, I mean, that's how I see the vote. You know, you're welcome to provide your own interpretation, but HR represented, gave us this opportunity. You know, we could have taken it further. That's how I see it.
Question from Ellen.
But Tarek, were we, like, was that survey for us to share with our colleagues? I thought it was only for the assembly.
It's only for only for the assembly. Some of our colleagues at the assembly wanted to go the extra mile, if you want to call it, and they went there. And I was kind of hesitant with that regards because, like, you've been here, you got some context, you know, to share just like a single piece of information. It's like maybe people will be outraged because right. with all fairness, this is not fair to Cornell. It's like, oh, that's outrageous, you know.
Right, right.
You guys have been here more involved. You've known the background, the details. HR has been more involved, the background, the details. So you know, I don't know, you know, what to tell you about that, honestly. It's they're missing too much information. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Christine?
Okay.
So, but yeah, any comments on this? You know, I'm just going to move forward with this. But, you know, future, like, projects, how can we engage more people? How can we become one team, you know, at Cornell?
One positive team.
Positive team, yes.
I have one quick comment.
Yes.
I think, you know, as somebody who voted for the quickest accumulation, but I've been here far more than 20 years. I've been
right.
Since 1992. Yeah. I think there's a real problem with staff. All of us want to feel appreciated. And sometimes I think it can be hard when you see something like this coming through that is showing appreciation to one group that you're not part of. And,
right.
and excludes everybody else.
Yeah, that was hard.
More than 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I had been at all of your presentations and things, I voted for the shortest accumulation because, yeah, I think this can help retention and we have a problem with turnover. This is a good thing. You know, I hope that's the big picture perspective, but it's just my perspective and I did not canvass my constituents on this. So.
Right.
But I think, you know, anytime something's shown to one group, I think it's natural for people to say, hey, what about me? How
right.
come people who've been here more than 20 years aren't getting an extra day or something? And I know, you know, we've had conversations about this.
You
so
know why this
I know
is,
what the
didn't
background
happen.
Is, but I think a lot of people, their knee-jerk
right.
reaction is going to be, well, it's not so much the hazing thing as, okay, you're showing appreciation for people who have not yet demonstrated long-term loyalty to Cornell. What about those of us who have?
Right.
I think
that's
part of what's going on.
That's very important. And yes. Anne brought this issue, like, you know, like Anne Sivernick, she's not here. It's like most of the people on the non-exempt side, they really have maybe more problems that we need to address for them. And that kind of creates a gap. So that's what I'm trying to say exactly. It's like we have other problems beneath the surface that creates that kind of atmosphere. And I encourage all of us to really think about. So, you know, as Cassandra was saying, it's like in their groups, let's find the solution to the problem. Let's not just complain. You know, so that I think that's a great takeaway for us to figure out how we can help Cornell solve these, you know, solve these problems. Yeah.
Tanya and then Herc.
Yeah, I think just to piggyback a little bit on what Laura said, I didn't survey my folks, but I did kind of ask people and there was a lot of feeling about, okay, you know, paying the dues and all that kind of stuff. I think more vacation time is always wonderful. I do think that there are people who can't even use the vacation time that they have.
Yeah.
And so how do we figure out how to address that problem rather than throwing more on top of that? I would encourage the EA to really be thinking more broadly. So to me, I think if we put something out, I think vacation time is great. I would say probably have more people who said, hey, instead of getting 5 more vacation days, can I get free parking? You'd have like a huge, or, you know, a reduced parking free or better transportation around campus. I think we just need to think more globally about everyone, not just saying, oh, the new people are coming and they're choosing to leave. Therefore, we need to make sure we give them more vacation time or, you know, how are we dealing with this little problem? Let's think about the bigger things that make that connection and whatnot. So,
yeah,
I voted for the longest amount of time just because. We have bigger things to focus on.
And actually, I mean, I agree with you, the way you address some of these issues and some of the, like not be able to take vacation, it's tied to like work-life balance. Like, so this is one initiative WorkLife is trying to address, because they have an issue with even work flexibility at work.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it bleeds into so many other stuff. If you have, like in this case, vacation is your right. So you should be able to take it. It's not like work flexibility at work, which some people say it's not your right, you know? So yeah, changing the culture is gonna be not that easy to make this more inclusive.
So you've got Herf, Carrie, and Andrea.
So I have one comment, I'm gonna add a second one. First of all, I think that if you look at the voting, you have 20 to 1 are in favor of the change. So you have 8 and 12 and 1. So
right.
You have 20 people that are endorsing the change of some kind.
The one actually is the most progressive, which is
okay.
Include everybody from day one. Treat everybody the same.
So you
same.
Have 21 out of 21 endorsing the change.
Change, yeah.
So I wouldn't try to divide it too finely. Because mm-hmm. there is an impetus there. The second thing is about excess vacation. You do get a check for vacation you haven't used when you retire. So
right.
it's not.
Up to a limit though. It's like capped
yeah,
at
yeah,
the certain.
Yeah, you get 40 days
yeah,
40, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You get 40 days.
Right. I'm not going to retire in 30 years. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a long time.
Well, maybe you should think about retiring early. So
30 years.
Then,
that's
yeah,
what
and then,
yeah,
that's and,
what need, but,
and
yeah.
So that's my worry about it not being a net zero and what is it going to cost us later on.
Yeah.
After we have to do this.
But it is,
right.
You know, it's not just wasted if you don't take it.
Right.
But I also hope that they continue to work on providing a vacation bank for people who have illness in their family or other illnesses.
Yeah, that's important.
Carrie?
So I just wanted to say, so I didn't do a survey per se, but I sent the handout with a bunch of background info and context to my division. I got really mixed feedback and I was surprised. I got all kinds of stuff. I ended up supporting option 3, simply because the people that, you know, for me, the people that came to me that felt negatively about option 1 was not about that those newbies shouldn't have that or it wasn't anything like that. It was when I boiled it down, it was sort of like the vacation time it seemed like vacation time is really the only place that people see their seniority being awarded, being recognized. And so, you know, at least that's how it felt, you know, that the people see that accrual as their one, that one recognition of how long they've stuck with university. And so, you know, I had to sort of weigh those feelings. And, you know, some people did suggest, you know, maybe vacation time is not the best way to do that, or maybe there are other things that we could do. But for this moment, having to pick from these three options, it seemed like without a more holistic package to look at, just for this, it made me feel like it was a little risky to go with the flat line, because then we've eliminated that sort of, I don't know, benefit for the longtime employees, that you know, tangible thing. And how would we then, how easy or hard would it be then to build that back in later on, once everybody, you know, was on the same playing field. So for me, it was way more complicated than I expected. I thought about it for like days and days and days. So I just want to say, but I really appreciate this work. And even though it was just one piece of the pie, I really loved the whole exercise of seeing the data and going through this. And I, for one, if I hadn't reached out for feedback, I don't think I would have felt informed enough, even just with the conversations that we've had here, it's really important to reach back out. And so, you know, I think maybe next time we should have a coordinated, like maybe the communications committee can help with figure out like what we all send out to our constituents and what we're saying and what's the context we're providing, so that we're not all trying to figure it out individually. Maybe that would help, but I thought, Tarek, this was a great activity. So that's all.
Andrea?
Real quick, I think when we talk about the culture and, you know, different things, it does change from school to school, unit to unit, division to division. And worked in two different, in an ILR is now in facilities, it's in a completely different culture about things. And then the other component that I think we just have to be mindful with that, it's not necessarily how it's accrued, but how it's used. For folks, you know, I worked for 11 years before I had a child, and it's different. I just know that you didn't use a lot of vacation before I had a child, but people who did have kids took a lot of vacation. So there's that cultural aspect of it, and a change in dynamic and department or division. And now it's just like a completely different culture. So I think when we think about that and how we may want to affect change, we've got to consider how that changes from place to place across this vast culture.
Christine?
I think I would add that it's really difficult for me to think about this issue as an employee only, because I'm a manager as well. And the changes that have occurred in the past year on the leave that is available is something that I have had a tremendously difficult time managing in my team. I've cycled my team almost 100%. Many of them are new, many of them new to Cornell, many of them young. I've had new employees out for 6 months. And if you can imagine how you bring someone into Cornell and ramp them up, mm-hmm. when between the New York State leave and vacation and everything else, they're never here. So I think that if we're going to consider these things, you have to consider them in full context. Mm-hmm. And not only as an individual benefiting from Cornell, but as a system, how do we manage this? And I think there's a broader conversation that it's really not about, I feel down on people that are new and they shouldn't have a vacation. There's a system of work that needs to be performed, and thinking about that in terms of all the leave that's available with the day you walk into Cornell is just really difficult.
Well, just to add up, just like quick note here, I was talking about the comments that came from employees. I'm not like putting any of the assembly members on the spot.
Sure.
It just like knowing our constituents more, reaching out to them, like that's what the takeaway from me. Let's talk to these guys. Let's figure out what is bothering them, so we don't just like get these kind of comments and they're kind of harsh. Some of them are positive, some of them are negative. So I'm trying to honor these, like listen to where it's painful and work with them. This is not by any means like just like assembly. We're talking about constituency. So thank you.
So Karen
Leparco was hoping to chime in. I don't know if you guys are looking at the chat. Karen, you still there?
Is there a motion to extend the meeting for 5 minutes?
Motion. Second.
Thank you.
Hey,
Karen,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry. As someone who took the request for feedback literally and did reach out to a wide range of constituents within the law school and the Johnson School, and I guess reaching out to the graduate school community was a little bit more difficult. I'm just going to thank Tarek for this exercise and this opportunity to do this, because it did give me the chance to directly speak with constituents. There was a broad range of comments from the positive to the negative, but it really gave me the opportunity to engage with people, discuss this issue, and, you know, and not come from it from one angle, as the person who was a manager was saying. You know, it's like I heard from everyone. I've heard from associate deans for finance all the way down to, you know, custodial staff. So I think that I appreciated the exercise, and you know, I kind of got a little bit of flack for it from somebody for the way that I reached out to people using email to get engage people, you know, but I'll take the heat if it means that people are more informed and can be a part of the process, because every single person said thank you for A, reaching out to us, and B, allowing us to offer feedback. And isn't that what we're here for?
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you very much, Karen. And to the committee, thank you for all your work. This clearly is not a done deal. We've got more work to do. And I appreciate all of the comments, particularly around the global view piece to it, looking at other potential avenues that we can move forward with that. With that, executive committee.
Real quick, so this is the last executive committee in this format that you know, so I just want to take this opportunity to thank Craig for all of his hard work. It's been a pleasure working with him. He will still be on the EA, but not in the chair capacity. And I want to thank Pilar for everything she's done for the EA. She's no longer going to be at the EA or in this chair, in this capacity. So I just want to thank everybody for their hard work on the executive committee. And that is my executive committee update.
Has been here for 6 years and is not done. She's going to be the executive vice chair of the UA. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Craig.
So, okay, with that, any other parting shots? Thanks for a great year.
Thanks for the great year, guys.
Meeting is adjourned.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Carrie.
No, thank you. You're here.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.